Invite you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read another familiar passage that goes along with the one that we've already had a look at this morning from Matthew chapter 4, early on in the Gospel, so you'll recognize the timetable of it, I think. Beginning in verse 18, Matthew writes the story that goes this way. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother, Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother, John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The Lord bless the reading of his word. When was the last time that you personally had a big change in your life? Some things immediately come to mind, and some of the big changes that come at us sometimes, some are good, some are bad. You get a new house, you get a new job, you get a new baby, you get a new grandbaby, you get a new great-grandbaby. Some changes are good. You lose a job, you lose a loved one, you lose something. Sometimes a big change is not something that we would call good. Aren't you glad in the face of it all how up and down life can be that Jesus Christ never changes? That with the topsy-turviness that this world has to offer and proves itself to be reliable for, and that's that you can't count on anything, that you can count on Jesus. Oh, where we'd be if we couldn't count on Jesus. He can constantly and continually and perfectly be relied upon. And so I encourage you to do that. But in that reliable Savior, in that reliable God in the flesh that we know Jesus to be, sometimes He calls us like He called James and John, Peter and Andrew to a change. So the second question then, when was the last time that you had a big God-sized, God-ordained, God-manifested change in your life? Because Jesus Christ changes us, period. It's not a one-time thing. It's not something that happened 20 years ago or 20 months ago or 20 days ago. Jesus Christ is constantly working on us. He's constantly changing us. When's the last time you look back and say, "Now right there, that was a moment when Jesus changed my life, when Jesus changed me, when He changed my habits, when He changed my thinking." I just want you to know that that's the sort of thing He does. And we see it here as He comes to these fellows. He changed their life that day. It was a big God-sized change. They'd never known anything but fishing. They'd never known anything but their family and their way of life. And Jesus proved Himself, as He will if you allow Him to in your life today, proved Himself to not just be some aloof teacher or some untouchable God. He proved Himself to be real. He proved Himself to be active. And He proved Himself to these four men that we're speaking about to be very personal. And I hope, and I hope, and I hope that He's proven Himself to be that very same way to you. If He hasn't, I hope you'll find that today. He's active, He's personal, and He wants to make a difference in you. Not just general, He's active in your life if you've known Him. He's interested in your heart, your family, your good. And I believe for every single one of us, 100% of the people in this room, within the sound of my voice, I believe that He is inviting you and I to something today, to different degrees. We see here in the story the kind of thing that Jesus usually did. They're at the Sea of Galilee, and it's just a humongous lake, not unlike Lake Norman, but it's kind of round and doesn't have a highway over the middle of it. But He's walking along the side of the lake there, and just kind of casual and just kind of general, He hollers out to a couple of guys in a boat, and He says, "Hey, why don't you come follow me? Why don't you come take advantage of what I have to offer?" And He just kind of casually does it. It's not a big deal. It's the way He did. He walks by. He speaks to the heart of very someone, and He invites them to do something. And they took advantage of it. They didn't miss it. Why do we miss it so often? Because we expect that when God speaks to you and me, that it's going to be a loud, boisterous, dramatic thing. We expect that when God comes to us and asks us to make a change, that it's going to be thunder and lightning and fire and smoke and all these things. And sometimes it is, but it doesn't always have to be that way. Sometimes it's not in the way you would think. Sometimes it's just a, hey, don't you want to make a little adjustment here on your life? And we can either accept it or we can change it. The thing about the drama is, and maybe if you don't get anything else, get this. Listen to me very carefully. Most, maybe not all, but most of the drama, the dramatic stuff in your life could be avoided if you just listen to Jesus when He's quiet and calm. If we just heed the invitations that He gives us day in and day out that aren't so loud and boisterous, we could avoid some of the drama in our lives. Just respond the way these four disciples of Jesus did. He walks up and He says, hey, follow me. And what's interesting about this story, He didn't really say any more than that. There's no flowery words. There's no, let me give you six good reasons why this is a great life decision for you. He didn't preach a sermon. He just offers Himself. What's interesting to me about it is they just do it. There's no debate. There's no convincing. They just do it. They said, okay, now maybe, we don't know yet, maybe that they had heard of Jesus. Maybe word had gotten around Galilee. Hey, isn't that Him? Yeah, that's that dude. All right, I'm paraphrasing. It would have been in Aramaic, but they said, that's that dude from Nazareth. He's been hanging around Capernaum. The teachers in the synagogue, they're very impressed with Him. I heard something about a wedding party in Cana, and something really miraculous that occurred there. That's the guy! Maybe there was some buzz on Twitter about Him. I don't know. I'm in a silly mood. We don't know if they had any reputation at this point that these gentlemen had heard about Him. We're not supposed to know, because if we were supposed to know, it would be in here. It's not the point of the story. If it were the point, it would be in here. The fact of the matter is, Jesus invited them to follow Him, and they just did it. And we read it, and we're just flying through the verse and say, well, of course you did. It's Jesus. If Jesus walks up to you and says, hey, you want to do this, you just do it. Amen? No, you don't. Neither do I. None of us do. You know Jesus Christ. You know the Lord has been trying to get you to do something, to change something, to stop that sin, to make an adjustment, to quit doing this, to start doing that. You know He's been trying to mold you a little bit for years. And you and I don't always do it just because we know that He's been trying to get us to do it. So it's actually a fairly miraculous thing that these four guys, they just did it. We say there's a million reasons why I haven't made this or that adjustment. Can I tell you, they had them too. They absolutely had them too. Tell you what, we'll be right there. Let us finish. We're going to haul in the rest of today's catch. I'll be right with you. No, it says immediately. He says to James and John, get out of the boat. Come on. Follow me. And they could have been all, you know, these are new sandals. Okay? I made them myself. They're leather. You know how water and leather just don't really jihad together. Okay? Let us finish and we'll row the boat. No, it says immediately they got out of the boat and they came. They had a million reasons, just like you and I have, for putting it off. And if you and I are not careful, as the Lord is trying to mold us, trying to teach us, trying to hone us into His image, trying to refine us like fire, the reasons that we have for not responding to something He said, hey, you want to try this? Instead of yelling and screaming and dropping bombs on our life, those reasons for not responding become excuses. We begin to make excuses. Well, you know, I'm not really convinced that that is the Lord's will for my life. I'm not really convinced that that's the Lord's voice that I hear. I'm going to help you with how to know that here in a moment. But that becomes our excuse. And I think He shot that down in John chapter 10 in verse 27. He said very succinctly, my sheep listen to my voice. Okay, listening is a key. We'll talk about that. But He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. They're my sheep, and they recognize my voice because they're mine. You ever call somebody that maybe you hadn't talked to in several months or maybe even several years, and they're like, who is this? Now, this is not the best illustration now that everybody has caller ID on every phone that they own, okay? You know who it is calling. If you see unknown caller, I ain't answering that. I mean, you confess it right now. You don't have to because, you know, but anyway. You remember back in the old rotary days, okay, somebody called and you didn't know who it was. I mean, the number didn't come up on the television screen. And if you hadn't heard from them in a while, if you hadn't talked to them in a long time, you didn't recognize their voice, or they didn't recognize yours if you called them. Being able to recognize somebody's voice comes with talking to them frequently, does it not? Being able to recognize somebody's voice comes from listening to them carefully, having a closer relationship with them so that we're talking to them frequently enough that we recognize their voice. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." How do we know it's Him speaking? When you know, you know. It all begins and ends with a relationship. If we're looking to hear from Jesus, we will. There was a Native American walking through Manhattan with a businessman, and I don't know why this story needs to have a Native American in it, but it did. I didn't write it, and so I'm going to tell it the way it's supposed to be told. Native American walking through downtown Manhattan with a businessman, and you know, it's busy and there's people going everywhere, and the Native American says, "You hear that cricket?" And the businessman says, "What? That cricket, you hear it?" This man, "No, I don't hear no cricket. What are you talking about?" I guarantee you the guy in New York did not say, "I did not hear no cricket." Anyway, the Native American then walks over a few feet and bends over to the sidewalk and he picks it up and he says, "Here, I found it. It's the cricket." And the businessman says, "How in the world, in all this hustle and bustle and racket and noise and people, did you hear that cricket?" And the Native American reached into his front pocket and he grabbed out a handful of coins and he threw them out on the concrete and they jing, 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 and people stopped and they started bending over, numbers and numbers of them, picking up that change. And he turned to the businessman with a cricket in his hand and he says, "You'll hear what you're tuned into. If you're tuned into money, you'll hear money. If you're tuned into nature, you'll hear nature. Bottom line is, if you're listening for Jesus, you will hear Him. Ask. Seek, knock. You will find whatever it is that your heart is after, what it is that you're actively looking for. That's what you'll find. You get up in the morning and you try to find something to complain about, you're going to have no trouble. You'll find something. All right? You get up in the morning and you think, "Well, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to try to find something to be thankful for." You will find it. You get up in the morning and decide, "I'm going to find something to praise God about today." You will find it. You will. You get up in the morning and say, "I'm going to find what the Lord has for me today." He will show it to you. He promises. It may not be loud and dramatic, but He'll tell you every single time. Problem is, all too often, and please don't think I'm talking about you. This was an easy sermon to write because I'm talking about me. All right? Problem is, we say we're looking, tell ourselves, we tell our loved ones, we tell our closest friends, that we're looking for God to do something. We're looking for God to answer. We're looking for Him to tell us why. We're looking for Him to make that change. But the problem is, what we're not looking for is, we're not looking for God's answer. We're not looking for God's plan. We're not looking for God to do something. We're looking for what we want to be given to us. We're looking for my answer. We're looking for what I've already decided I want. We find ourselves in a situation like, "Well, God needs to change this, and this is how. And if He doesn't do exactly that, well, God's not doing anything. He's not active. He's not personal. He doesn't care about me." No, He is active. He's just personal. He's just not onto your agenda. He's got His own. That's, again, a confession of my own self. We talked last week about how some of us get in a situation all too often. It's just like, "I need a break. Take all this anymore." Go back to the drama thing, by the way. "I just need a break. I just need a break. And if we don't get a break, well, God's not involved." The thing is, though, maybe the break is not God's plan for you. Maybe God's not going to take you out of that situation. Maybe He's not going to give you a break with that situation. Maybe His plan is to show you who He can be, getting you through that situation. Help you emerge on the other side of it. Maybe that's His plan. I'm going to show you what He can do. Peter, Andrew, James, John, they were looking for the real deal. And that's why they found it. They were looking for Jesus and what He had to offer, and that's what He offered Him. They weren't looking for anything else, and that's what they found. And if I may add something, there were probably hard days in following Jesus. There were times we know that they were on that boat and the wind and the waves were crashing. They thought they were going to die. There were times when thought they were all going to be arrested. There were times when they were arrested. There was ups and downs and topsy-turvy of life. But I guarantee you one thing, and I guarantee you that would be the same case about you and me if we'll do what they did, and that is follow Him to our very death. If you'd ask any one of them on their deathbed, "Was it worth it?" they'd have said, "Yes." Every last bit of it was worth it. I wouldn't change anything. The best day of my life is the day that he walked by on the shore and said, come follow me. What they were looking for in their heart, and they found it. So how do we know that it's what God is calling us to do? How do we know that it is his voice? How do we know that the invitation, that this thing that I keep being bombarded with is his plan? The change I need to make, the thing I need to do, a path I need to follow, whatever the case may be. Number one, check it with God's Word. If you're thinking about, all right, this is a decision I'm thinking about making, can I offer you just a little bit of help on that? Okay, it's called your Bible. It's called your Bible. Check it with your Bible, the principles in here. Because, and hear thee on this, God Almighty does not contradict himself. Ever. He doesn't do it. If it goes counter to what God's Word says, it ain't God just telling you to do it. Probably you. You would say, well, I'm thinking about making this career change or selling everything off and going to Indonesia and becoming a missionary or something. Well, maybe it is. Check it with God's Word. I don't know. You say, well, I'm thinking about maybe just bagging the whole family thing and leaving. No! That is not what God's Word says. Not God's plan. That is not His voice telling you to do that. Ever. Check it with God's Word. Number two, get some counsel. Talk to somebody. Talk to somebody about it. God will use people that He has already intentionally and carefully and wisdom-filled put in your life. He will use those people to help you hear Him and make the right decisions. Have we not found that to be the case? I think it would be one of the more profound growth experiences that this church or that any of us as individuals have ever experienced if we would start doing a little bit more of finding somebody who we know has been following the Lord, who we know has a good walk, who we know knows their Bible, who we know is coming from a selfless, Christ-filled standpoint, and we go to them and say, well, can you help me with this? And just get some counsel from them. And I'm not just talking about Wes or me, not even just deacons. I'm talking about just each other. You know somebody knows more about life than you do, get some counsel. God will use that. It's also very helpful to know that you're not the only one that understands what you're going through. Seek out the wisdom of others. The third one is recognize, and this is very, very important. Recognize that God has a plan, okay? That's where He operates from. He operates from a plan. My father used to build houses, and he didn't just grab a bunch of wood and nails and go. You didn't do that. You had to have a plan. You had to take measurements. And God's got a plan for this church. He's got a plan for this nation. He's got a plan for this community. He's got a plan for your family. He's got a plan for you. And He's operating from that plan. Recognize that He's operating from a plan, not the temporary circumstances that we find ourselves in. He's not operating from that. He's operating from the bigger plan. We go right back to Romans 8:28, one of the most used verses in the Bible, and for a good reason. And we know that in all things, can I just stop there for a second? Would you look? It's very powerful. If you're careful when you read your Bible, you'll find some very powerful things. The first three words of Romans 8:28 are huge. Not we think, not we hope, not we pray. Paul says, and we, if we know anything, we know this. In all things, everything, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. The circumstances, the good, the bad, the up, the down, the topsy, the turvy, God is working from an overall plan. So examine your circumstances within that. Don't allow the situation you're in to keep you from hearing from God. In that plan and in the circumstances, good, bad, topsy-turvy, what you'll find no matter what comes at you, there's repetition toward God's plan. There's repetition toward God's calling. There's repetition toward what God is trying to get you to change, to do, to stop, to start. I can remember my call to the ministry very carefully, and it was a period of my life for months and months and months where every devotion, every Sunday school lesson that I either taught or heard, every sermon that I listened to, it didn't make any difference if I turn on Charles Stanley or just some AM preacher you'd never heard of. The message was clear every time. Grant, follow me. I'm not saying God's calling you to ministry, but you know He's trying to tell you something. Whatever it is, hear it. It's being repeated. Fact of the matter is, in this story, just like yours and mine, with what God has already done in your life and with what He's trying to do right now. The text, the five verses, didn't start with obedience. It didn't start with them getting out of the boat. No, they started with a gracious, meritless call to God. These guys weren't the smartest ones that you could find. They weren't the most notarized. They weren't the richest by any means. They didn't recite all kinds of scripture, and Jesus didn't prey on their sensibilities. Like we said before, He didn't give them 100 reasons why this would be the best thing they ever did. He just extended to them, just an ordinary bunch of people who didn't deserve it, hey, you got something special. You got an opportunity to experience something like you've never known, and like most people will never know, meritless, gracious invitation. That's how it started. Just like it does with you and me. And just like it does for them, or did for them, you and I need to understand that following God, following the Lord, responding to His plan is not a response to a command. No, it is a response to God's grace. If you'll do this, if you'll make this adjustment, if you'll hear me out, what's on the other side? Much better. It's much better. Personally found that to be true. I personally believe that God has that same plan for every person here. Amen. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, some of us may be struggling, and in some ways all of us are struggling with a word from You, trying to hear it clearly, trying to discern it adequately, trying to respond to it properly. You're calling some of us to repentance from a lifestyle, from a habitual sin. You're calling some of us to make some changes in our relationships. You're calling some of us to extend forgiveness and finally drop it once and for all. Lord, You're calling some of us to start a prayer life. You're calling some of us to start a giving life. You're calling some of us to start a serving life. You're calling some of us to make huge changes. And if we're honest with You and we're honest with ourselves, we have to confess and admit right here and now that You are patient and we don't deserve the improvement and the closeness and the likeness to Christ that You are offering us. But I personally pray for every one of us, Lord, that You'd give us a measure of faith to step out. Just like these four disciples did so long ago, to step away from what we've always known and find something that makes an eternal difference and that we would never turn back from, just like they did. It won't always be easy, but Lord, if it's Your plan, it'll always be right. Thank You for that. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who has never responded to Your call on their life, have never trusted You for the forgiveness of their sins, Lord, maybe they have even done that. Maybe they answered an altar call, Lord. Maybe they believe that You died on the cross for their sin, but they've never truly followed You. They've never made You their teacher. They never put You in the place of their Lord and Master. They're not trying to pattern their life after You. Lord, I pray that they would answer that invitation right here today. Find that it is the greatest thing they've done since being saved. All in all, Lord, we just trust You. And we put it in Your hands. And thankfully, You have proven that those hands are faithful and just. All we're trying to say is Your will be done in this invitation, in our hearts and lives, right here and now as it is in heaven. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Just a time of invitation. Whatever it is that God has said, hey, come do this. I hope that that's what you'll do as we stand and sing.